Do you join me, please, in a word of prayer?
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all those assembled prove acceptable in your sight, my rock, my strength, my redeemer. Amen. Well, I wanted to start off today. We're in this Galatians series called Hollow, and I wanted to start off today with this way too deep. I mean, this is like seriously jumping into the deep end. Deep question right off the bat, and it is this right here. The greatest issue of our time is blank. Because there's a lot of issues. A lot of issues out there. But the greatest issue of our time is, how would you fill this sentence out? What would you put in the blank there? And I'm tempted to go and give you a bunch of examples. Maybe you could pick from them. But instead, let me back up and say, if this were 1860 in the United States, you would probably say the greatest issue of our time would be, well, depending on what side of the Mason-Dixon line you lived on, either slavery or states' rights, even though I would say, what state rights in particular are you worried about? But that was a big issue, and maybe the biggest. Maybe if you're Abraham Lincoln, you would say the preservation of the Union. But, you know, it was all kind of centering on that one thing, right? If you lived in Europe in about 1938, you would say the biggest issue of our time is either Nazi Germany or communist Russia. You'd be worried about one or the other of those guys rolling in on you. Well, I'm sorry, and I skipped past our good friend. How could I have forgotten? 1919, you would say the biggest issue of our time is stern-faced women. Susan B. Anthony and women's suffrage, right? And a lot of you probably would say, you know, women's rights are still a big issue today. What I'm getting at is not just simply the greatest issue of our time, but if I could make it a little more personal for you, the question I really would like you to wrestle with, and we're going to actually cut out a little bit of time for that, is this question right here. What am I zealous for? And you may be thinking, I don't even know what zealous means. It has the word zeal right there. It's not a word we use all that much, but the word itself means it comes from a root to be hot or to boil, and it gets at that. What issue makes you on fire? What makes you hot? What makes you ready to boil? What do you really get excited or upset about? And I actually am going to give you just a minute to think about that. So take a moment and think about what really gets you on fire. I'm going to ask you to kind of hold that in your mind. It could be a lot of different things, and they're important things. Having zeal for things, I'm telling you, it's important. About 10 years ago, give or take, there was this magazine article that came out, and it named Cambodia as the worst place in the world to be a child. And for various reasons, education, health, human trafficking, the sex trade, just horrible in that part of the world. But of all the places in the world, now think about that. There's some bad places in the world. Cambodia was named the absolute worst place to be a child. And the church where Lori and I went before we came here, St. John, actually got on fire for that issue. And they formed this Stronghold Cambodia, Angel Dormitory. They bought a piece of land. They have an orphanage, a school, and they actually changed the landscape, you know, with other people. There are other people who also kind of got on fire for Cambodia, but they actually changed that so that now it is not one of the worst places to have children. And if you haven't already sort of jumped there in your mind, I will cross that for us. If you didn't already think about this place, you should be. Because a lot of the same things could be said of Haiti, right? Several years ago, it was a terrible place. And it still has plenty of challenges. But because of what people here have done, because of trips that we've taken over there, because of financial support, and of course because of a relationship. Because just throwing money at a problem doesn't really do anything about it. It doesn't do anything positive about it. But because of our relationship with Daniel Paul and what he has done in sort of raising up the next generation, we have actually begun to change the landscape and the trajectory of an entire country, a whole people. I don't usually do this in the middle of a sermon, but I'm going to ask for a little bit of applause for the people in here who had something to do with that, because that is awesome. I mean, that's really cool. And you know why we're able to do that? Zeal. Because some people really got on fire for that issue. Because it was really important to Sam way back before I got here, and he got some other people really excited about that and really on fire to that, and he made a difference. Zeal is pretty cool. Usually, it's pretty cool. Now, we're in that series, like I said, we're in a series about Galatians, and we've been going through this series called Hollow, and it's based on a letter that's written by a guy who is actually really known for being zealous. This guy, Paul, who had zeal. I mean, he was on fire for issues. And we've been going sort of chapter by chapter. We're in chapter 4 this week. Chapter 4, part 4, whatever you want to call it. And you'd notice, if you haven't already, I don't always start at the very beginning of the chapter. And that's because at the beginning of this chapter, Paul actually kind of rehashes some stuff that we've done in previous weeks. He tells people, look, why are you, who've been freed by Christ, binding yourselves to these traditions, these ceremonies, all of these kind of club rules that you don't have to? You're making yourself, you're putting yourself back under the law. And that's a topic that we talked about actually in week 2. It's super inconsiderate of Paul not to have neatly divided his letter into chapters that I could use for my sermon series. I don't know what he was thinking. How am I supposed to do this? So we're going to skip over that. We're going to actually pick up in verse 13, where he starts to get on the subject that we're going to be talking about today. So in verse 13, chapter 4, this is what he says. You know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, which I didn't know. I don't know if you knew that, but apparently the only reason he stopped in Galatia and preached to these guys is because he was sick. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn me or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. So apparently Paul was really in a bad way. I mean, really sick. I don't know if you've been around somebody who's been that sick. Maybe somebody in your family. Maybe somebody has come to visit you in the past and they brought a sick kid and you thought, why are you bringing this into my house? You know, you should be going somewhere else. But instead of doing that, they took him in and they took care of him. And this bond was formed because of that. What then has become of your blessedness? They treated him with blessedness. For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your own eyes and given them to me. Gross, right? But really descriptive. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? What Paul is asking, you would have laid down in the street for me. You would have given me your very eyes. And all of a sudden, I've become your enemy? Why? Because I gave you the gospel? Because I told you the truth? And then he gets at the real heart of the matter. The real problem is this. They, and he doesn't name these people specifically, but I'll tell you a little bit more about them. They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out so that you will make much of them. There's a group of people who Paul doesn't name specifically, but they're pretty clearly Jewish Christians who are telling them, first of all, that you need to observe all of these ceremonies. You need to be Jewish, and circumcision and a bunch of other things, food laws, are really important to them. And you need to do these and not listen to Paul. There's kind of a smear campaign going against Paul. And I don't know this for sure, but I bet you it probably started in the church parking lot, because that's where these conversations really start, right? And they said, you know what, Paul wasn't even one of the original 12 disciples. You know that, don't you? And you know he didn't actually even meet Jesus. I don't know why you're listening to this guy. You should be listening to us. And people started to go along with this. They started to fall for this agenda that these people had, their zeal. And remember, zeal is, it's a really good thing in the right context, but it can get out of control, and it can become a problem. And it's become a problem here in Galatia. It can become a problem under a couple different circumstances. The first thing that can be, the first way that zeal can become a problem is when you make your issue everybody's issue. Now, I know no one here has ever done that, right? No way anybody here has ever made your issue somebody else's issue, but possibly you've known somebody who had this particular issue where God puts something on your heart, which again is a good thing. But then you decide that that needs to become everybody else's issue, and it's the only thing that you can talk about. And you can't quite understand why everybody else doesn't see this as the issue that you see it as being. I don't know what you thought about earlier, whatever it is you're on fire for, whatever you look at and say, this is the issue in the world that needs to get fixed, but let's just say it's orphans. Okay, that's a good issue, right? So God has put orphans on your heart. And so you talk to people and you're always talking about orphans, and that's one thing. But then you start to go, you know, I notice you haven't really adopted anybody. Don't you care about orphans? Have you written a check to an orphanage? You know, James says that this is pure religion. You take care of the fatherless and the widow in their distress. Don't you care about the Bible? What is wrong with you? You're not even a big brother, big sister. I don't know if you even know Jesus. You see where you've taken that? You've taken it really to this next step right here. You have made your issue a replacement for Jesus. That has taken center stage. Now, I know, again, nobody here has ever done that before, right? No one would do that here. But you know people who have done that. Even, again, even good things. Remember our good friends, I didn't make it to Aquafest here. I kind of wonder if they made the parade this year. But our good friends with the bullhorns that are walking around and saying, you're going to burn in hell. You know, all the doom and gloom and the threatening people. You know what their issue is? It's evangelism. But I think they've taken the zeal, the being on fire for sharing the word of God, and that has replaced an actual relationship with Jesus. Bad things happen when you replace even good issues with Jesus. I have a little demonstration I'd like to at least try for you here. Let's say this balloon is you, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are filled with, well, let's just say Jesus, life can come along and it can get you down. But Jesus is always going to lift you back up. And it doesn't matter how many times life just smacks you down. Jesus is the power that will continue to lift you up. And it doesn't matter how many times I do this, how hard I do this. Jesus is going to continue to let you rise. Now, this is one that I blew up on my own, which I'm glad because I didn't want to have to do that in front of you guys. Now, they look similar, though, don't they? These look, really, from the outside, they look almost exactly the same. But here, rather than getting filled with the Holy Spirit, rather than getting filled with Jesus, we're filled with our own issues, our own zeal, our own power. And you know that that's not going to float. You can keep it up yourself, but you have to keep on tending to it, because if you don't, it's going to fall. Your zeal can't keep you afloat. It won't do it on its own. I have another demonstration, but let me see how Paul wraps this up. He continues in verse 18. He says, it's always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I am present with you. In other words, Paul is saying here, once again, zeal is good. If you have a good purpose, it's always good to make much of that. Whether I'm here, whether I'm not here. But, my little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Paul is not going to miss the most important thing. That Christ is formed in each of us. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone because I am perplexed with you. I am at my wit's end with you. You are just driving me absolutely crazy. Because their zeal that they've inherited from these people who oppose Paul is all about ceremony, and it's moved Jesus out of the picture. I want to turn now to the question that I started with. The greatest issue of our time is what? What is that thing that troubles the world that you could do something about? Forgive me while I shift our focus to... I want to be careful here because I had this conversation with somebody a while ago who said, man, you can't condemn a whole continent. I'm not doing that. I want to talk to you just a minute about Africa, though. And I'm not going to say anything, or I don't want to say anything that condemns it. What I want to say is Africa is a place where they have a whole lot of really acute problems. Like really, really severe problems. Disease is not like you see here. Right? AIDS is still an epidemic in a lot of places in Africa where 1 in 3 people have AIDS. That's an epidemic. Ebola, Africa. Serious, serious problems. They have drought there like we don't have drought. Like we have never seen drought. They have starvation, not just hunger, starvation. They have violence in Africa on a scale that it's just kind of hard to imagine. Ethnic cleansing that goes on. Civil war that still goes on. They have warlords who go to villages and conscript, i.e. kidnap children to become child soldiers and mutilate the men that they leave behind. Violence is an issue that is just on a whole other level. And the list goes on, the problems in this country. And I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying there's a whole lot of need in Africa. It's hard to wrap your mind around. If you're looking for the greatest issue in our generation, in our time,